Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our online audience as well as those tuning in on the radio dial in Atlanta as well as Mississippi. Our next guest was named by Time Magazine as one of Canada's five leading activists, and I think after this conversation, you definitely will find out why. Dr. Samantha Nutt is one of those unique individuals that has not only been able to see a need in the world, but she's definitely been able to do her part to be able to bring attention to that need and also, of course, to do what she can to help those in need. Through the organization War Child, she's been very active in not only being able to advocate for children and families that are in war-torn areas, but also helping other people to be able to galvanize and do the same thing. We're going to talk to her not only about that platform here on this program, but also where the desire comes from to be able to be of assistance to others and what she hopes you all will join her in doing with War Child as well. Samantha, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cyrus.
Well, look, I'm really excited to be able to speak with you. We're always looking to be able to profile individuals on this show that are not only talking the talk but walking the walk, and that definitely includes you. I was so fascinated not only what you've been able to do through your book, but also, of course, through the platform of War Child. I mean, what has it been like for you? I mentioned, of course, the recognition by Time Magazine, but you have been recognized by so many different organizations because of the advocacy work you've been able to do. What has it been like for you, Samantha, to not only be able to recognize a need, but also to be able to be recognized for being able to do something about that need?
Well, for me, being able to do something about that need is paramount. And so the fact that I might have, you know, the kind of platform that I do have, I mean, the one thing that the recognition does do is it is an endorsement of our work and our ideas and our efforts. And so that, to me, is the most important part. My life, I'm a medical doctor by training, and my life fundamentally changed about 20 years ago when I ended up working with UNICEF as a volunteer in war-torn Somalia, and I arrived during the second wave of a famine. And that particular experience as a young physician had a profound impact on me and on my career. And so for the past two decades, I have been trying to figure out how it is that we can address the problem of war, how we can keep civilians as safe as it is possible to be in war, how we can meet their short-term and also their long-term needs, especially when it comes to children, so that we don't have generations that are lost to war and that cycle of violence continues. So, from my perspective, the recognition is really a recognition of our work as War Child, and that's all of the individuals that are associated with the organization, some of whom are really, they're brave in ways that I will never be. I mean, these are many people who have been affected by conflict themselves and who are living within those communities. We have more than 200 staff, national staff around the world, and that's what I'm very proud of. I'm proud of them, and I'm proud of their work.
Right. And I think it shows us all, though, Samantha, that, you know, when people work together, not only the good that can, you know, of course, take place, but also, of course, how people can be motivated and, you know, motivated to action. Have you always known that you had the ability to be able to bring people together, or was it something that developed as your life developed?
I would think that it's probably a little bit of both. I think when you grow up and your last name is Nutt and you're the brunt of a lot of jokes, and as I certainly was in elementary school, it teaches you to be a little bit scrappy, but it also teaches you, you know, I was that kid who got picked on a lot, and so I was probably excessively empathetic. And I was raised that way as well, to really care about other human beings and to pay attention to the impact that I might be having that was positive or negative on their lives. And so for me, I'm always trying to figure out how it is that I can, and as a physician as well, you know, how I can help other people, how I can do a better job of listening to them and listening to their needs. And when it comes to civilians in war, from my perspective, I have, for better or for worse, I mean, I have seen the ruthlessness of war, and I have seen the extreme violence in war, and the horrifying and terrifying loss that war brings. And so to have the opportunity to wake up every day and to try to do something about that, and to try to in some small measure bring relief to those families and those friends that I have made over the years, it's for me, I mean, it's also, it's my solace at certain times too.
Exactly, and I think that is the thing. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Dr. Samantha Nutt is our guest for this segment. We're talking to her not only about her own journey to be able to be a part of something larger than herself, and that is the organization War Child, but also what it's been like for her to be able to advocate for those who sometimes feel as though they don't have a voice, those being, of course, the children and families in war-torn areas. You know, I love the fact that when I was on the website, Samantha, War Child, .ca is where people can go for more information. I love the fact that you talk about education, that being a big part of it. I think that kind of goes in two ways. One, of course, to help those, you know, that are in these war-torn nations, but also, have you also found that one of the challenges is to educate us, especially in the Western world, about the challenges that are taking place in these war-torn countries?
Absolutely, Cyrus. I mean, that really is the biggest challenge that we face. You know, before you can have any kind of programming that works on the ground, you also have to convince people to invest in those efforts, and you have to demonstrate the importance of those efforts. So the work that we do as War Child, both Canada and the USA, and for people who are interested in reading more about our U.S. operations, it's warchildusa.org. But we support humanitarian operations in more than 10 war-torn regions around the world, focusing specifically on things, as you mentioned, like education, like access to justice, like helping families become financially self-reliant and young people financially self-reliant through employment and skills training that's tied directly to market needs. So it's a very holistic approach, but it's something we don't think about. You know, when we think about the needs that people have on the ground in war zones, in crises like Syria and Iraq, we think about those short-term needs, so food and water and shelter and blankets and health care, and those are extremely important. But when wars are dragging on for 5 years or 10 years, or in the case of South Sudan, more than 3 decades, you have generations that are lost to conflict. You have young people who are 17, 18, who've never had the opportunity to go to school, or who when they were last in school, they were in grade one, and they fall farther and farther behind. And then as a result of low levels of education, and we see this poverty trap all around the world, you know, low levels of education lead to low opportunities when it comes to future employment. In the context of young people in war zones, it makes them that much more vulnerable to recruitment by militia groups and other criminal gangs. And so breaking that cycle is at the core of what War Child does. And it takes a long time. And it also means we have to work really hard to convince people here at home to think differently about how they give. I mean, it's really right. important that we do respond when we see a crisis in the news, and that we invest in those short-term measures to keep people alive. But then beyond that, as I said, I mean, Syria now 5 years in, we really do have to think about how it is that we get kids back into school, that we help them catch up on their learning, that we create opportunities to protect women, especially those who are experiencing sexual and gender-based violence, and that we also make it so that people have those resources that they need to provide for themselves and those and their families. And that means shifting how we think and giving in a different way. And I always say to people when I'm speaking with them that it's actually much more effective to give a smaller amount of money on a regular basis, which allows organizations like War Child to plan our programs to be on the ground in a sustainable way, to make those long-term investments that address some of these systemic challenges. That small amount of giving on a regular basis allows for that planning and that sustainability. The kind of one-off donations are always appreciated, but they're not going to have the same, and in this case it's quite literal, bang for the buck, as making a regular investment in humanitarian causes.
Exactly. And, you know, you not only have been able to share this message through War Child, but also through your book, Damn Nations, Greed, Guns, Armies, and Aid. You know, could you have imagined that this would have been your platform, Samantha? I mean, you took us back to 1995. I mean, when this all began, could you have imagined that all of these things would have come just from your being able to take interest and take action?
I think, you know, for me, I started off as I went into this as a humanitarian, as a physician, interested in you know, what I thought at the time in being a doctor and practicing as a doctor. I did not expect it to turn into, as War Child has, a global movement and an international organization that works with nearly 500,000 children and their families each and every single year. For me, you know, when I started off, I was still quite shy, and I was better certainly doing one-on-one than speaking in front of a large room of people. But the reality was that for better or for worse, war changed who I am, and it also really, I after experiencing and living with what I did and witnessing what I did, For me, there was no option but to speak up and to speak out and to try to draw attention to what was going on in other parts of the world and the extent of people's suffering and why so many of our aid interventions ended up being misguided or falling short. So it was in some respects frustration that drove me to speak up and to confront some of my own fears when it came to whether it was public speaking or having opinions or being politically engaged. I just couldn't see what I had seen and then not say something about it. It was impossible.
Yeah. You know, the book itself, and I had a chance to get it on Kindle on PC, Samantha, because as I was prepping for the segment. And the thing that I thought was so interesting is that of all the great work that you do, I mean, there is that harsh reality that unfortunately not everyone can be saved. You mentioned in the book that one situation with the mother who was holding, you know, her dead child. And you mentioned in that same selection, of course, that, you know, here she had two other children that, you know, were more than likely going to suffer the same fate. And there were the words there where you said to her, you know, please tell her I'm sorry. And you wrote this in the book. I made a note of it because I wanted to share, because I want to talk about, you know the human side of this. Because a lot of times we hear the numbers and we don't really think about, you know, the actual people. You wrote this: sorry I couldn't do anything for her. Sorry there was no money to help her bury her child. Sorry I couldn't pay for her ride home or ask my driver to take her. It was against UN policy, and even if it wasn't, he was unlikely to do me any favors. Sorry that her husband and brothers were most likely dead. Sorry we didn't have the funding to open a clinic closer to her village so that other women could get the care they needed. Sorry that this clinic, too, would soon phase out its operations and close within a few months. Do you hope that people are able to read something like that in Damn Nations and think, you know what, maybe I can help so that they don't have to continue to be these apologies given?
We can help, and that's precisely why I wrote Damn Nations. I wanted to show the harsh realities on the ground, but also the great courage and tenacity and, in some cases, humor. I mean, the book is not all full of tragic stories, but
sure,
it really is to highlight what we're getting wrong and where we have an opportunity to get it right and what that looks like. And so I see the book as a prescription for that. It really is about understanding how it is that we might contribute to violence and instability in other parts of the world, whether that's through our arms deals, whether that's through our failed foreign policies or military interventions, and how, or even, for example, resource extraction. I mean, you can look at the war in the Eastern Congo, which is directly related to the exploitation of the Congo's vast mineral resources, which includes things like coltan and tin and tungsten and copper, which can be found in all of our cell phones and our electronics devices. So war is never as far removed from us on this side of the world as we presume it to be. We court it, we sustain it, we buy it, we use it each and every single day in some fashion. And so the overarching message in the book is it's not just a problem of over there. It also connects to each and every single one of us here. And there are things that we can begin to do differently and constructively to actually invest in those local communities in the right way, those local people who are extremely courageous, doing wonderful, wonderful things, really innovative work, addressing the long-term challenges within their communities. But we have to challenge the way we think, and that's what I was trying to get at when I wrote the book, and I hope that it's done that. I was trying to stimulate discussion and conversation and confront some of our assumptions, and from what I hear from people, that seems to be what it did in at least in many cases.
Right. Right. In the acknowledgments of the book, you know, and you even talked about earlier, you know, about the last name, you joked about it, Samantha, but you say in the book that you owe a great deal of gratitude to your parents, and you hyphenate, who are both nuts, for creating the kind of family environment where humor, debate, and stubborn persistence were valued. I thought that was an interesting wording. Do you think that is why War Child has had the success that it has and has made, you know, the strides that it has, is because of your own stubborn persistence?
I think we're all like that at War Child. We are certainly in the NGO sector. We're not huge. We're not established. We aren't necessarily the first organization that people think of. We don't have an advertising budget. We want to spend all of our money on our field programs. And as a result of that, you know, we're not always in people's faces. And so the people who give to us are generally the people who are informed about international development issues. They understand our methodology and why we do it. They understand that we're there for the long haul and that what we do is messy and complicated, but also extremely sophisticated. And I think that all of us in our organization, we're, for example, we're in South Sudan, and we were one of a very small number of international agencies that was right on the front lines when the recent conflict broke out about 18 months ago in the area of Malakal, and we were among the first to you know begin responding to that particular crisis. And our staff on the ground there, our local staff who were Southern Sudanese, I mean, they were also, and their families were affected by this violence. Many of them had to flee to refugee camps, and the first thing that they said to all of us was, you know, back home was, well, what are you guys waiting for? Let's get going. Let's get moving. And I think that tenacity is inherent throughout the organization, and I'm only just one part of that. I think when you're dealing with war, it's always two steps forward, one step back, all the time, and peace is extremely tenuous, and it takes a very, very long time to see those gains materialize when you're doing this kind of work. And I think that having that kind of stubborn optimism is essential to anybody who's working in this sector, and I think it's a very vital part of who we are as an organization.
Yeah, and that work is something that all of us can be a part of, and we're about to talk about that. Again, everyone, Dr. Samantha Nutt is our guest. Great conversation we're having with her today, not only about the work that she's been able to do with War Child, but even in just being able to be of assistance to those who don't feel as though they have a voice, but also to help to galvanize others, to encourage them to do their part as well. I want to talk about the ways that you're able to do this, Samantha, because one of the things that we did in prepping for this, we were posting the link to this conversation through social media. Social media is one of the ways that you actually encourage through the website to be able to stay connected and to help spread the word. How has sites like Facebook and Twitter, how have those helped you guys to be able to not only reach, you know, individuals around the world, but also to keep people posted on the need?
It's been wonderful. It's one of the tools that we have in our toolbox to be able to connect with our stakeholders, to keep them informed of what we're doing. Our Twitter handle is at WarChildUSA, and we're, as I said, we're relatively new in the U.S. We've been around for a few years, but only in the last couple of years have we actually built up. We have an office now out of New York. A pro bono office space is fantastic, and a managing director and some staff, and they're very busy engaging with Americans all the time when it comes to War Child's work and some of the challenges that young people are facing around the world, and children especially. So for us, it's a great way for us to stay involved, to stay connected, for people to ask us questions, to reach out directly. Some people are really interested in volunteering with us locally or doing a fundraising event. We don't send volunteers overseas. It's obviously far too dangerous. And we invest in those local community groups. That's our biggest priority, as opposed to sending foreigners overseas. But for us, we couldn't do our job, especially because we, as I said, we have an advertising budget of zero, and so there's really no other way for us to be able to get that message out. We've also been really fortunate that we've had a great deal of support from music artists and the music industry more generally. We've done quite a few benefit songs and CDs. Alicia Keys has been a big supporter of ours, and we've done a tremendous number of bands have come out and supported War Child, and that's been great too, because they've really engaged their fans, and then those fans contact us and say, hey, how can I support you? How can I get involved? And then we take it from there.
Wow, what a great thing. And again, it goes to that, what we call here, the field of dreams added, Samantha. If you build it, they will come. And I think that's the thing. And I think the passion that you have and the others that work with War Child have, you know, definitely makes a difference. And it makes it, you know, a lot easier to be able to know about. So, you know, you've been giving out the information. We'll make sure that we're tagging everything through our social media outlets as well. So, I mean, as far as, you know, the work that you've been able to do and knowing that you've been able to inspire others, I think that's what I'd like to close with, because not only are you able to make a difference in these countries, Samantha, but you're able to show people, no matter where they might be, that they can do their own part to make a difference. I mean, how does that feel to know that you might inspire someone else to be that next generation to be able to keep paying it forward?
It feels great. There's a lot of work to be done. Unfortunately, as we all know, anybody who reads, follows the headlines, we are experiencing a resurgence of violence and armed conflict in many corners of the world. We now have the worst refugee crisis since World War II, and I am extremely aware that these are not problems that will be solved in my lifetime. And the more of us that are out there championing this kind of work and getting involved and raising some money and understanding what good development actually means, as far as I'm concerned, I couldn't ask for anything more, frankly.
All right. So make sure you all are staying connected with the work that War Child is doing. You had mentioned the U.S. link as well. I had mentioned the Canadian link of warchild.ca. Would you mind giving out the U.S. link again, Samantha?
Absolutely. So our U.S. link is it's at warchildusa for Twitter, and then for our website, it's warchildusa.org. And you can also contact our staff through the office in New York. All that information is on our website.
All right. So make sure you guys are staying connected with the work that War Child is doing and do your part to help spread the word and also to support it as well. Great conversation, Samantha. Thank you so much for the time. And look, I hope you'll come back. We'd love to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Cyrus. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Your questions were extremely thoughtful, and it's just wonderful to connect with somebody who is very much like-minded, it sounds like.
Well, look, I appreciate that for sure. Again, everyone, Dr. Samantha Nutt has been our guest. Make sure you guys are staying connected with her and the work that's going on with War Child. And then make sure you guys get the book that we mentioned, Damn Nations. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com. You guys can get the Kindle version as we did, or you can get the print edition from there as well. So we definitely encourage you to do that. And then help to spread the word through social media as well. There's a Facebook fan page to like, as well as a Twitter handle as well, at War Child USA, as you heard Samantha mention there. So make sure you guys have liked that to be able to follow the page, and then, of course, to help spread the word. You also will see there are other pages around the world as well for War Child. As you heard Samantha say, there's great work taking place all over, and you can be a part of that. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation and you're joining us online, don't worry. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. For those joining us on the radio side, both in Atlanta or in Mississippi, you can check with your local listings to find out when this show will be re-airing in your area. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.